You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
No! All right, welcome back. Dan, quick question from the three of us.
Yes.
Were you just making up words in that first story about the hurricane?
Was it the Delta, Gamma, Alpha, Beta that you were questioning, Scott?
The Appalachia...
Delta,
Throppy,
Beta, Gamma.
Throppy, Delta.
No, I looked at a map to see where the storm was going to be coming in.
And where's it coming in?
Atchafalaya Delta.
By the way, the Cat 2 cane that we heard you mention.
the Atchafalaya?
Atchafalaya.
Atchafalaya Delta.
Atchafalaya
River. Atrophy Delta?
Down in the bayous there. And mm-hmm. there's
the
a
bayous.
Delta.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's right there on the map. Yeah.
If we, like a if dish we would. On a weird restaurant menu.
Yeah.
Can I get the Atchafalaya, please?
Roll out.
Thank God.
I could go
chicken wings.
Gumbo. Every time there's a hurricane going into Louisiana, I just think about the food down there.
Can we not call it a Cat 2 cane, though, if you don't mind?
I think he should continue.
Well, it won't be a Cat 2 cane for long.
I think he should continue calling it a Cat 2 cane for as long as that distinction exists.
Jim Cantore is now in shin deep water and leaning into the wind.
Okay.
We have fully embraced the I'm on the Weather Channel in the middle of a hurricane stance.
And actually, the latest update from the National Hurricane Center, they say Francine has made landfall.
Oh, it has.
I has made landfall in southern Louisiana, in Terrebonne, about 30 miles south-southwest of Morgan City.
How close is that to the Atchafalaya Delta?
Very close. In fact, it's over, the eye is over it, right?
Sam,
is
the Atchafalaya Delta can really be wherever you want it to be.
It's a state of mind.
You know I love you, brother,
nice.
Right? But you're naming locations that none of us have ever heard
no,
of.
Well, that's no, why we I have now. It. He's here to educate
the,
us.
The Flappy sure. Delta, what?
Near the Atchafalaya Delta.
Yes.
Which is near Morgan City.
I don't even know where that is.
Which is 90 miles or so.
West or southwest of New Orleans. Which is where we should, yes, yeah. Got it.
Yeah, this is an educational program.
Yes,
here.
Thank you, Dan.
Not from 06 to the top of the next hour. I guarantee you that.
Dan, do you know if you look at the numbers on a clock and you add the first two numbers up, it adds to 13, and you keep adding the other numbers up,
this
it adds
like
to 13?
Deja vu.
Right?
I know.
All the way until you what even if you get you, to 7 and
we're
6
here to
at
educate
the
people. That's
what
all I'm saying.
If you add 12 and 6?
Your mind is just blown. You get 18.
Oh. Whoa.
Get a what?
Did you hear that? You said, what happens when you get the 12 and the 6? And you literally saw her go with her hand. 18.
Carry the one.
Well, you know.
Okay, I want to talk about the number 7 because the 7 remaining goats that were on the lam yesterday near the riverfront have been successfully corralled. The operation brought animal service officers onto the difficult terrain that the goats were fabulous at navigating.
Why don't they just leave them alone?
There is the funniest photo on the front page of the Kansas City Star. Because the goats, you got to be honest, goats look dumb.
Well, I know they look dumb.
They somehow put in fencing. Look at them. And they actually corralled them like, and they did. The goats just went right on through that
pen.
Why
not just leave them alone?
To Scott's point, it's just free landscaping.
I agree.
Now you're going to have to pay a guy to go weed whack that.
Remember, these were rogue goats. They do not know where they came from.
They have to add that to the Dana Parks bingo card.
Please do.
Rogue goats.
No, just the word
no,
rogue.
No, it needs to be rogue goats. It's way better.
No, because sometimes you get a rogue storm.
The fugitive goats were successfully captured and will go to the KC Pet Project's main campus, where they will be put up for adoption if their owner doesn't claim them.
I mean, did they even ask if they were just passing through? Maybe they're heading
somewhere else.
They don't
know. Dan, they do not know.
Maybe they're migrating goats.
Yes, they checked with all the farms. Goats. They checked with all the companies that have the goat lawn munching service or whatever you call it, and no one is missing a goat.
Maybe they were down in the Atchafalaya Delta and decided that they wanted to get away from the storm.
So they headed north?
That's right.
I think the alligators would have taken care of them.
Up the Mississippi, over the Missouri. Here they are.
Just leave them alone.
Here is a question from the New York Post. Do you have the right when you are selling a home to know
is there going to be a home selling story every
day
until that house sells?
To know the identity of your buyer. Scott.
Oh, I'm going to start putting them in the stack. I didn't even think about
it. The homeowner who sold his billionaire property to Jeff Bezos.
Well, that
one
sold.
Now suing because he asked, is Jeff Bezos attached to this property anyway? And the real estate agent said no. Listen to this. The man who sold Jeff Bezos his $79 million billionaire bunker mansion, whatever that means, is suing the real estate agent who handled the transaction because they concealed the fact that the buyer was Jeff Bezos. This guy named Leo Chris was the owner of the 7-bedroom, 14-bathroom abode.
You have twice as many bathrooms as you do bedrooms?
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. I mean, who are you having over? Taco Bell founder? Anyway, this guy went to sell the house, wine cellar, library, theater, and a pool, and put the mansion up for sale with a listing price of $85 million. A month later, wow. Jeff Bezos bought the property next door. And then a short time later, Chris received a $79 million offer for his house. So he said, knowing Bezos just moved in next door, hey, is this Jeff Bezos who's also putting a bid in on my house because Bezos has trillions of dollars? According to the lawsuit, the real estate agent said no, which I don't know if this is lying or concealing. And now the owner is suing, saying he should have been upfront that this was Bezos that was buying the property.
Why? What does it matter?
Because you could fleece him for more money because he's Jeff Bezos.
So then they shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah,
to
then they shouldn't
well,
be allowed.
I'm stuck on this because realtors say it is common for wealthy buyers to shield their identity throughout the purchasing process due to concerns that the seller could inflate the asking price if they knew the name of the person with whom they were dealing. I've got to agree.
It's always been my understanding, and I've owned 5 homes in my life. I don't ever remember learning the identity of to whom I sold any of those, the 4 houses to.
Leo Chris makes the argument that had he known Jeff Bezos was the buyer and Bezos intended to adjoin the properties, he would never have agreed to cut the listing price. He alleged in the court filing that, quote, it was highly material to his negotiations and decision on the ultimate sales price to know whether Bezos was in fact attempting to anonymously acquire it in order to assemble it with the adjoining property.
It is fully legal to buy a home under an LLC or a trust
so
that you can detach from your identity by calling it something that has nothing to do with you.
I'm not a realtor, and I know we have a lot in the audience, but I would also make the argument you don't have the right or should not have the right, maybe, is a better way to put it, of knowing the identity of the buyer of your home for this reason and this reason alone. What this guy's saying, hey, you made a bad deal. You cut the price on that house. You should have held your feet to the fire.
And, that's on you.
And said, you know, I'm not cutting the price. But also, what if the name of the person is maybe locally well known and you know that they happen to be black and you're a racist? You don't want to sell your house to a black person, or they're Jewish, or you're black and you don't like white people. And the person buying is somebody who's locally known as being white.
I think the issue isn't, can you conceal your identity throughout the process? I think the answer there is yes. You just put it in an LLC. The issue is he asked the real estate company, is this Bezos trying to buy this house next door? Because suspiciously a month ago, he just bought the one next door. If, in fact, the agency lied and said, nope, this is not Jeff Bezos. We don't know who it is. Some guy named John.
Well, but when you're buying property, do you not have the right to be anonymous?
I think you do.
I don't know
if you're a real estate agent, if you can lie if you are asked. Maybe you're just supposed to say, we are not at liberty to disclose it. Why do you care? It's $79 million. Take it and run.
Well, and if it's Bezos, the odds are that he's buying it through a trust. And they didn't even get a piece of paper with Bezos' name on it.
Yeah, but at some point he would have had a conversation with somebody, wouldn't you? If you're buying a $70 million, $9 million house.
And why did he buy the adjoining property?
Because I think he wants to adjoin them.
And tear them down and build a mega mansion.
That's my guess.
Oh, okay.
The $79
million
for a mansion.
Why would you care?
I wouldn't care. He's only mad because he got duped into dropping the price about $5 or $6 million, And talk about a first world problem.
Amen.
Oh, I only sold that house for $79 million when I could have gotten $85
million. He says it cost him $6 million. Potentially. Ew. He says it potentially cost him $6
million. Oh,
I know.
I'm going to go home and cry for this man.
At least he sold it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Wow. I'm going to go home to, house.
We'll be right back. So Google has done the research, and they have found the top five destinations, and some of them are international, for American flyers over the Thanksgiving holiday and the Christmas to New Year's holiday.
I'm sorry, say it again. I just went scroll.
Okay.
Say it again.
Google has done the research, they have found the top five destinations. Some are national, some are international.
Okay.
For American flyers over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
Oh.
And the Christmas to New Year's week.
Just talked about this.
And some of them are the same destinations.
Okay. Well, it's going to be warm. It's going to be somewhere in Florida or somewhere in Hawaii.
Okay. You are correct. Or on the Thanksgiving weekend, Orlando is number one.
Wow. Everyone going to Disney.
Mm-hmm.
What about Thanksgiving, Christmas? I don't know. Colorado.
I'm going to save you the trouble.
Yeah, please do.
You're hurting yourself.
Looking at the map.
Cancun is number two.
Oh, bingo.
New York is number three.
Ooh.
Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Rockefeller Center tree and all that
stuff. Well, and the parade.
Okay.
Tokyo is four, believe it or not.
Tokyo, all right.
And London is five.
London.
Mm-hmm. Now, between Christmas and New Year's, that week,
I would have guessed New York again because of the Rockettes and the Christmas tree thing.
New York is number five.
Yep.
Number one is Tokyo.
Oh.
I kid you not.
Okay.
I did not have that on my bingo card. Orlando is number two. Cancun, number three. Miami, number four. New York, number five.
Okay. The Japanese culture does have the same New Year's Day as we do.
Oh, good. Let's go to Nashville because you're not going to believe the story.
Okay.
Well, I mean, just follow me here. Tuesday night, John Bon Jovi talked a woman off of a bridge in Nashville, if you know what I mean. Like, talked her
she
off
was
the
bridge.
Yes.
To...
That was not the right song.
Bon Jovi.
Living on a Prayer?
Sam
Yule! You didn't tell me what the story was about!
I told you to play some Bon Jovi!
I did!
How about play Have a Nice Day?
God!
Scott. Okay, Bon Jovi...
Do not play Tom Petty's Free Falling.
Right. Bon Jovi was reportedly on the bridge for a photo shoot around 6 p.m. when he noticed his team, you know, said... JBJ, there's something going on down here. There's this woman who appears to be in, I don't know.
She was living on a prayer?
I don't know, Sam.
We're going to keep this one musicless. there's so many bad options.
Listen,
just not going to play them.
A video posted by the Nashville Police Department shows Bon Jovi and his team calmly approaching the woman. As the video continues, the singer and one woman who appears to be part of his team start talking to the woman, comforting her. And then she turns around and Bon Jovi pulls her over the rail to safety. From the police department's Twitter page, a shout out to John Bon Jovi and his team for helping this woman. It takes all of us to keep each other safe.
He does have a song called Last Cigarette.
Okay, can you imagine just for 1 second? You are not in a good place. All kidding aside, you are not in a good place.
You're having the worst day of your life.
You are not in a good place.
Yeah.
And you look, and of all people, you look down and you're like, I don't care who this is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a moment here, and get away from me. I am not doing well on the other side of the railing, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And you look up and it's John Bon Jovi. I'd be like, all right, that's a sign.
That's God wants me to live. No, it's great. Good for him. That's great.
Isn't that's lovely?
That is very nice. Now, what was he doing? He was a photo shoot?
They were doing a promotional shoot on this bridge.
What, has he got a country record coming out now?
I do believe he's got some new music. New music, new music.
Please don't be a
speaking
country record.
Of Bon Jovi, Bobby Kerr, Bob Jovi.
What about him?
Is going to be performing here, and I don't remember. It's in the next few weeks, and I'm going. I literally texted him the other day because I'm too lazy to go online, and I said, "Hey, just let me know where you're going to be and when you're going to be there." And he told me, and I'm going. And I think it's one of those theaters that confuse me, like maybe Sandstone that's been named a bunch of different things. Azura, is that it?
Azura, yeah.
Whatever. I think that's where he said he was going to be. I'm
no
telling you, I think that's where he said he was going to be.
Big.
And I said, I am going to be there. It has been too long since I have seen him. You know how much I love him. You know how much I love that, really, the whole catalog that he sings.
Okay, calm down.
I'm telling you, I love me some Bob Jovi. Bobby, here we go. He says he will be, yes, Saturday, September 22nd, 8th, at the Aztec Theater. I knew it started with an A.
The Aztec?
Whatever. I don't even know what that is, but I'm going to be there.
I think that's the theater in downtown Shawnee.
That
good,
would be the
I'm
theater
in
downtown Shawnee. That is correct. Very differently sized from Azura.
I don't care. I'm going to be there.
And also, unlike Azura, it has a roof.
And walls.
Yes.
And a door.
Okay, no, I am in.
And a stage. Well, Azura has that.
Well, I'm telling you, there's going to be some point that Bob Jovi is on that stage, a bigger stage, because I love him. Everybody loves him.
Okay.
He sounds just like him.
Well, and that's
those
wonderful.
Tight pants.
Okay. Are you like, and don't take this the wrong way, but when I know you've been to several Bob Jovi shows. In fact, you and I have been to one together. Are you a little bit annoying?
No, I am a part of that show with all of
that's
the other.
That's what I mean. So you're annoying.
Semi-mature women.
No.
You turn into a woo girl.
Are you screaming?
Oh my God, they're all screaming. I didn't throw underwear like that one woman. Were you there that night with us that someone threw underwear at him? And I'm like, all right.
No.
No, they threw underwear at Bobby.
Was it like?
Sweaty.
Was it
it was outside at Knuckleheads.
Hey.
Scott, it was 120 degrees in August.
I know,
at
but was
Knuckleheads.
Was it a kind of underpant you would buy at Victoria's Secret or Target?
Victoria's Secret, or as my mom calls it, Topeka Tent and Awning. No, it was a smaller pair of. He held them up like this because it was 120 degrees out.
So there wasn't a lot of material.
There was not
a
lot of material there.
Okay.
Like, keep your pants on, ladies. My God.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Interesting story, and this is from the Kansas City Star. And let me read the headline first, and then we'll get into the body of it real quick. Single people need to make this much to live comfortably in Kansas City, according to a new study. It's from MIT.
Okay.
They use the MIT Living Wage Calculator. And by the way, Missouri comes in 37th on the...
good side.
Well, on the list of states where, you know, it's this wage to live comfortably. Kansas was 34th. So they say the salary of a single resident in Kansas or in Missouri, the amount of money as a single person you would need to make to, quote, live comfortably in Kansas is $84,656. In Missouri, to live comfortably, it's just over $84,000. Now, if you're a family of four, two adults, two children, in Kansas, to live comfortably, you need to make $196,768. In Missouri, it's $202,000. Ooh, that's a lot of money.
I was going to say, that seems high.
It does seem high.
But are we putting kids through college, paying a mortgage, paying multiple cars and auto insurance and health insurance? Like, when you add all of that stuff up, it's not.
So what they used as part of their formula, if you will, is housing, food, transportation, other items, I don't know what that is, and income taxes. Other items might be clothing and stuff like that, I'm sure. So
that seems high, but okay.
It does seem a little bit high, because I guarantee you when Sean and I were married and we were raising two young girls,
well, but
we
you've got to do a cost of living adjustment for that. That was 20 years ago.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it was 14 when we were living together, but we weren't making anywhere close to $196,000. Not even close.
Yeah, prices have gone up.
Well, that's true. That is true. This is the age when you start to feel real, which is to say, adulting begins.
Okay. This is the age where you start to feel real, like the Velveteen Rabbit.
Let me tell you, it says here, the age where life, money, and the future start to feel real is dot, dot, dot.
24.
No.
26.
No.
Oh.
27.
Okay.
A recent study of 2,000 Americans split evenly by generation. So 500 Gen Z, 500 millennials, 500 Gen X, and 500 baby boomers revealed that being an adult does not start the day you turn 18.
Oh, God, no.
Today, a majority believe that the definition of adulting is simply paying your own bills. Others say it's being financially independent.
Yep.
Others say putting responsibilities over their personal life.
Yep.
Like kids or whomever.
Well, my son called me the other day and said, hey, I need this and this with like an auto insurance quote. And I thought, oh my gosh, he is actually an adult now. He's asking about auto insurance.
Sam, are you Gen Z or millennial?
I am the eldest Gen Z.
Okay. Do you feel like an adult?
Yes.
Okay. 11% of your fellow Gen Zers say they do not feel like an adult.
I also took on independence at a very young age.
Okay. Well, it's fascinating.
I like 27. I remember thinking when I was 27 that I loved that age.
Did you have kids at that point?
I think I was 27 when he was born.
Really?
I'd have to do the math, but yeah.
Yeah, that would be about right because 'cause he's 1 year older than Sarah, and we had Sarah when we were 30. So that would be about right, 27. A new survey found that the more bacteria is lingering on your reusable water bottle.
Oh, gross.
Than can be found on a toilet seat.
Gross!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about the cup of coffee that you put creamer in and you let sit out for 3 months?
Is this the one that grows mold and you run out of the studio in a plastic bag?
Yes.
And say, it's not that bad, it's not that bad?
That is exactly the one I'm talking
Only
about.
Only 3 months?
No. It
Two
was
months?
Long. No.
I don't know.
Do not go lower.
Other way.
Higher? Higher?
Much higher. Oh, you cleaned up your side of the...
I did. I put soap in it and
Give it time.
Put it in the dishwasher.
It'll be a week.
No, this story about the water bottle makes me feel disgusting. You guys make fun of me because I carry around the 74-ounce Assault water bottle everywhere I go.
I don't make fun of you for that.
And I never clean it.
Oh.
Oh, we need to do one of those Petri dish tests,
really?
Sam, on your water bottle.
I mean, I clean it every once in a while, like when it, you know, starts to have...
Gross.
Why don't you clean it?
I don't know. I'm emptying it and filling it every single day. To me, that, you know.
So here's what I don't understand is why would a reusable, like, you know, in my fridge right now, I have a smart water bottle that I have refilled and I just put it back in the fridge to cool it, to chill it. Why would that have more bacteria? If all I'm doing is putting water in it and putting it to my lips.
Because the bacteria is in your mouth and then it springs baby bacteria from that bacteria. And then you do it again and again and again and again.
It says here, the survey had scientists swab common household surfaces for comparison. The study found reusable water bottles had 5 times more bacteria than a computer mouse, 14 times more bacteria than a dog bowl, and 40,000 times more bacteria than a toilet seat.
Gross!
Now, I hate to jinx myself, but could this be why my immune system is...
No, I think that's an old wives' tale. By the way, Sam, when was the last time you were sick? And there's a very specific reason I was thinking about this 48 hours ago, but go ahead.
I don't know.
Genuinely. It's been that long.
Yeah.
I don't
you
either.
Do
I
not
I have no
get
recollection
sick.
Of the last time that I was sick outside of a sickness that I brought upon myself by consuming too much of a certain something the night before.
Well, that's a hangover.
Well, I count that as sick.
Okay.
Okay.
Huh. 48 hours ago, Scott, I'm telling you right now. And I think I've gotten past it. But I woke up with just the slightest achy feet, like just so slight. And I thought, oh, please do not tell me I'm about to get sick, because I've got a lot of stuff coming up on my calendar that I'm very excited about. I mean, not that I would be sad to miss the show and you and all work, but like my first thought was—
Did you say you would not be sad?
No, I would be. But like my first thought was, no. I've got some fun things coming up that I don't want to miss. Okay. And so I took a couple ibuprofen, went to bed the next day. Meh. But I remember thinking out loud, and now I'm jinxing it, I do not remember the last time I was sick.
I don't either.
Or Sam.
I don't remember the last time you were sick.
And maybe it's because we have all this bacteria in the studio.
Or maybe it's because when we were kids, we ate dirt and boogers.
Oh, that's true, I suppose.
I remember the last time I was sick. I got COVID in January of 2020.
You know what? That is the last time
That's
the last time I remember being actually like deathly ill. And I shouldn't say death, but really, really sick with a high fever and all that stuff.
Well, COVID didn't hit the United States until March of 2020.
Maybe it was January of 2021.
Okay. Is COVID still a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One of my daughters had it about 2 months ago.
There's endless commercials. Go get your shot today.
COVID, Paxlovid.
Oh, God, yes, that's right. COVID, Paxlovid.
Look, that app must work because I can remember the name of that damn thing.
Well, because it's very similar to COVID. Almost a quarter of millennials and Gen Z adults without children say they plan to stay that way. The reason is money. 23% of young adults, Gen Z and millennials, ranging in age from 18 to 43, say their financial motivation to remain childless boils down to two issues.
Wow.
Valuing the financial freedom that comes from not having kids, as well as concerns about their ability to foot the bill for raising kids. 23% of young adults say they have no intention of having children.
Okay, but one of my dearest, dearest friends would tell you that she and her now husband, who I adore as well, swore they were not going to have kids. They just weren't going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. They both have great careers. They both love to travel. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Then they have the baby. And she will tell you, like, I cannot even breathe when I think about my former self. And I was so anti-children. And now I have that. And you look back and you're like, what were we thinking?
Well, Maya's told me she's not going to have kids. And I told her.
That's easy to say when you're 21.
Yeah, when you're 20.
Yeah.
I said, wait till you get older. I guarantee you it'll change.
But if you're looking at the cost of it, I mean, I heard something the other day, and I didn't dig into the numbers that they were breaking down, but they were saying that 3 is the new 10, meaning the cost of raising 10 children in the 1980s is the equivalent of raising 3 children today.
I don't disagree.
Well, I don't disagree with that either.
It kills me.
But also, you've got to remember that people make more money than they did back in the
80s. Yeah, but everything's also more expensive now.
I was going to say, not proportionally.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So I did see a breakdown for housing where it was a $160,000 house that you could afford paying 26% of your income on the mortgage, making $60,000 a year.
Yeah.
10 years ago. Today, that same house sells for $450,000. To only spend 26% of your income on that mortgage, how much do you think you would have to make? You were making $60,000 before 10 years ago. 180. Three times as much money.
Well, I'm just lucky that, you know, I think for all of us, we should just remind ourselves that the interest rates are going down.
Okay. Are we getting back into a sell your house story here?
I'm just saying there's never been a better time to just dive on in and buy that house.
Just that one house?
Yeah, specifically.
In Leawood?
Bezos.
My God.
If you're looking for a home in Leawood, Bezos.
Tell everybody what you said before we came back from the last break.
I'm not saying that out loud, but there was an evacuation today of a neighborhood involving 30 houses.
That's right, because there was a gas leak.
And I looked at Scott and I just go, wait, what was that address again?
And then when she found out it was north of her neighborhood, she said to me, Sam, I kid you not, she goes, go south, baby, go south, go south, go south.
The fire department and police department have it all under control now.
I'm sure they do. Sadly. Unfortunately, they did their job.
I went by today and flushed the toilets. They're not my gaseous fumes causing the problem.
What, Sam, can you look this up very quickly? Because I remember what the cost is to raise a child from birth to 18. Because if I'm not mistaken,
But that's always been a ridiculous mind-blowing
number.
Sarah
and Maya were born, it was $175,000 per child. And that includes, you know, everything from clothing to feeding them to daycare.
Everything.
Everything. And I always thought that that number was too high.
I did too. And I don't know. I don't understand how they calculate that. I really
and,
don't.
And you also have to take into account geography.
Education.
You know, sure. And
are you buying them a car?
Is it more expensive to raise a kid in New York as opposed to Kansas City? I think the answer has to be yes.
Of course.
And so then that's an average, or that's the median. And so is it really that expensive to raise a kid from birth to 18?
Well, because, and you know this, Scott, from birth to a couple of years, they're really...
That's expensive.
Well, I would argue with less. I would argue it's less expensive.
With the daycare and everything?
No, not necessarily with the daycare, but it's not like you're going out and doing exciting things that first year. I mean, you're basically, they eat, they poop, and they sleep. You've got diaper costs.
Which are not cheap.
Investopedia says middle-income parents will spend an average of $310,000 if the child was born in 2015 until the day they turn 17 in 2032.
Well, I find that hard to believe.
I find it hard to believe they cap it at 17. I'm telling you, the most expensive. Would you not agree the most expensive time statistically is 15 to 21? Is
well,
the most
that's,
expensive
well, you're
time.
Including college
yes.
for a lot of parents.
Well, and a lot of parents would argue that after 18, it's a choice.
Fair point. Fair point. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
You know, I get really cranky when it starts getting cold, but I love the fall. For like 15 seconds, I'm going to love this weather. And the Lewisburg Cider Mill just posted that Cider Fest kicks off Saturday, October 5th. I love the mums that I kill every year. I love the apple cider. I love, oh.
What do you mean you kill mums?
Well, you have to water them and I don't, and then they die.
You know, I have mums are a
hardy,
very, and they're a perennial.
Yeah, you can plant them.
Yeah, I planted. I bought one like 3 or 4 years ago, planted it in my landscaping, and it comes back every year.
I want a cider donut right now so bad I could die. Those
a cider
are the things.
What?
The cider donuts. Have you not had the cider donuts from Lewisburg Cider Mill?
I can't remember the last time I had a donut,
Scott. Apple cider donuts are completely in a different category than donut.
Oh, they're delicious. Especially when you get them fresh and they're still hot.
Oh my gosh, and warm. Just wait. I will bring you apple cider donuts.
Okay.
It's one of those things I do once a year and I'll eat myself sick.
Lamar's or Krispy Kreme?
Well, no, these are Lewisburg.
I know.
Oh.
I can't choose between those two.
Wow.
Because Krispy Kreme's the national chain, but when they come out and they're warm and they're just a little flaky on the outside, oh my God, I love those so much. But I don't eat donuts very often. But when I do, bar the door.
The answer is Lamar's.
Hands down.
Lamar's.
I just went to the one on Johnson Drive, like, I don't know, 6 months ago.
Now, if you're looking to spend less than $15-$20,
okay,
you go over to
Krispy
Kreme.
That? Like, right. I actually thought when they told me it's going to be $40 and something, I thought...
How many donuts did you buy?
I think I bought a box for the kids, and I thought, well, that can't be right. That was probably a mistake. No, I mean, you know, donuts are not.
Did you accidentally add a zero?
No.
Well, anyway. I'm not going to say the name of the pizza place, but my brother's family and my family came over. We had our little family fantasy draft on Saturday, and I said, hey, I'll spring for pizzas. I got two large pizzas and some breadsticks.
How much?
$55.
I know. It's like eating out now.
And you wonder why we don't want to have kids.
You just don't share your pizza with them, Sam. Just make them watch you eat it.
Right. Make them starve?
Just give them the crust.
Sorry, kid.
Give them the crust when you're done.
Go fetch me a turkey, Popeye.
We got to run.
Hey, dog food in the shed.
Don't forget to check out our podcast at KMBZ.com. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.